Yavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 3, Krishna is the source of all incarnations, text number 25. Ataso yuga sanjayam. Dasyu prayeshu rajasu. Janita Vishnu yasaso. Namna kalkir jagat patihi. Ata. Thereafter, I saw the same Lord, Yuga Sanjayam, at the conjunction of the Yugas, thus you, plunderers, Prayeshu, almost all, Rajasu, the governing personalities. Janita will take his birth.
Vishnu.
Named Vishnu. Yashasa. Surnamed Yasa. Namna. In the name of. Kalkihi. The incarnation of the Lord. Jagatpati. The Lord of the creation. Thereafter, at the conjunction of two yugas, the Lord of the creation will take his birth as a Kalki incarnation and become the son of Vishnu, Yasa. At this time, the rulers of the earth will have degenerated into plunderers. Purport. Here is another foretelling of the advent of Lord Kalki, the incarnation of Godhead. He is to appear at the conjunction of the two yugas, namely at the end of Kali Yuga and the beginning of Satya Yuga. The cycle of the four yugas, namely Satya, Treta, Dwarpa and Kali, rotates like the calendar months. The present Kali Yuga lasts 432,000 years, out of which we have passed only 5,000 years after the Battle of Kurukshetra and the end of the regime of King Parikshit. So there are 427,000 years balance yet to be finished. Contrary to the what is it? There's a concern that the world's going to end in February 2012? Huh? Yeah. Not supported by the Bhagavatam. Therefore, at the end of this period, the incarnation of Kalki will take place, as foretold in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The name of his father, Vishnu Yasha, a learned Brahmana, and the village Shambhala are also mentioned. As above mentioned, all these foretellings will prove to be factual in chronological order. That is the authority of Srimad Bhagavatam. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmaye Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahayam Vidatti Svapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Nangayate Girim Yakri Pata Maham Bande Sri Gurum Dinatarinam. There's a long list of incarnations. We are getting close to the Paribhasa Sutra of the Bhagavata. The essence, if you like, the seed of the Bhagavata. Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita, Janma Kama Chame Divyam Evam Yo Viti Tapataha Chattva Deham Puna Janma Nayati Mameti Sorojana. One who understands the nature of Krishna's Janma and Karma, appreciates, understands, knows Krishna's activities as being not part of the material world, but part of the spiritual, part of the transcendental world, can get release from material existence. So it's important for us to know of the various incarnations of the Lord and understand their purpose. Paritranaya sadunam vinasaya chatuskritam dharma samstapanataya sambhava. Is that right? Is that the same verse? To establish religious principles, basically. To elevate people, to bring people out of darkness or out of ignorance. Tamasi ma jyotirgama. Come out of darkness and into the light. Is the Vedic aphorism. So, here we have the Bhagavatam is actually predicting the future, and explaining what will happen at the end of this Kali Yuga. Most of the incarnations that are being described, at least from our perspective, have already appeared, because Buddha was the previous description, right? Yesterday. And Buddha's incarnation has already manifest and passed. And now Kalki is in the future. And Kalki is quite an interesting personality in one sense, because his appearance heralds the beginning of the Satya Yuga. You know, it says here, Yuga Sandhyayam, at the conjunction of the yugas, just like we have the sandhya in the morning and the sandhya in the evening. So that's the conjunction between night and day, and then in the end of the day, day and night. So here, there's a description of the Lord who ushers in the Satya Yuga. In the 12th canto of the Bhagavatam, it describes how the Lord will, and it mentions it here also, he will destroy all of the Rajasu, Dasyu Prayeshu Rajasu, which is translated as Dasya, means plunderers. Prayeshu, almost all. Rajasu, the governing personalities. So the kings. You know, I'd heard previously that Kalka kills everybody. But actually, according to the Bhagavatam, he doesn't kill everybody. He just comes and kills the kings, the unqualified kings, at the end of Kali Yuga. And in the 12th canto of the Bhagavatam, which we have read recently, there's a description of all of the qualities of Kali. You know, people are short-lived. Prabhupada said, or it mentions there that, you know, you'll be considered a grand old man when you get to 50, if you get to 50. Many, many various disqualifications. Actually, it's interesting. I was looking at there was an article in The Age yesterday, and I think it was yesterday or the day before. And they've done studies of plants and animals, and they've discovered that as the temperature goes up, you know, this is to do with global warming, as the temperature goes up, then the species shrinks. Plants shrink, animals shrink. So this confirms the Bhagavatam's description of how in Kali Yuga, basically in Kali Yuga, everything gets hot because there's no rain. People are impious. And as a result of their impiety, then the earth planet withholds its the wealth and supply. You know, Prabhupada argues that there's no shortage of anything actually, except for Krishna consciousness. And because people are impious, then the earth withholds its wealth. So there's not an abundance. And so we see that in Kali Yuga. In Kali Yuga, because people become impious and very unqualified, so the duration of life is shortened, the size of people is shortened, the quality of people is shortened. And also the abundance of produce and wealth and is restricted. And then we see when Kalki appears, then he ushers in, he clears out all of the unqualified personalities, the plunderers, the kings who are plunderers, the administrators who are plunderers. You know, it mentions in the Bhagavatam how people will be taxed, oppressed and overtaxed, so that people will go and live in the forest to avoid the oppression of the plunderer kings. And you know, we see, although things may not be quite as bad, we still see the seeds of these. We see the beginning of, in Kali Yuga, we see the beginning of these characteristics starting to manifest. So Kalki appears and destroys the plunderer kings, and at the same time then prepares everybody for the advent of Satya Yuga. But he's quite a character in a sense that basically he displays his mercy in a very abrupt and vigorous fashion, right? Just chops off people. No preaching. I was listening to a lecture the other day, and Prabhupada was saying how, you know, we sever our connection with material existence by cutting our ignorance with the sword of knowledge. This is our cutting. By cultivating knowledge, we're able to cultivate the detachment. There's a purpose of cultivating knowledge, is to understand things as they are and to be able to detach ourselves from material existence. In Vedic culture, knowledge and detachment are considered the true wealth of an individual. A proper understanding of things, and then the ability to remain aloof from material existence. In Kali Yuga, though, you know, what is the measure of a person's advancement? According to the descriptions of the Bhagavatam, what are the qualities by which a person's prowess is measured? Money, yes. If you've got lots of money, then you're a Mahatma. What else? Beg your pardon? Relationship? How do you mean? If you've got some good friends, you're popular. Yeah? Why not? Bhagavatam doesn't say that, though. Well, power. Well, money, power. I think it mentions if you're good at sex, then you're considered, you know, have lots of affairs, then, he's a wonderful person. Huh? Is that what you mean by relationships? You're being polite. Putting it politely. Bhagavatam's not so circumspect, it says, you know, if you can maintain your family, that's considered a wonderful thing. Right? If you can just look after your family and keep your family happy, that's considered a great achievement in Kali Yuga. But of course, you know, you may be wealthy, you may be influential, you may be popular, whatever. But of course, you still stay in the material world and you suffer. Whereas, you know, the real value of the human form of life is to take advantage of it and to get out of the material world. That's the real purpose. The real purpose of the human life is not to accumulate money or to be influential or powerful or to have lots of friends. Because ultimately that's useless. That just keeps you in the material world. Not beneficial at all. The real benefit of the human form of life is to become aware of one's spiritual identity and to be able to establish ourselves in that identity and to act based on an understanding of who we really are, which is we're not this body, we're spiritual by nature. We're a servant of Krishna. And of course in the Kali Yuga that's lost. Whereas in the Satya Yuga that's the prime focus of everybody. And of course that's Krishna's purpose. Krishna's purpose is to bring everybody to the real purpose of life, to the prime focus of existence. That's the whole purpose of Krishna speaking the Bhagavad Gita. And the reason why Krishna is interested in establishing religious principles, and why he himself sometimes has to come and do it himself, because it's not being done by anybody else as his representative. So Kalki comes, and it appears that Kalki is somewhat of a ferocious, if you like, or a awe-inspiring. Of course, he is awe-inspiring, I guess, in that regard. But we should understand, you know, we need to understand all of the different incarnations of Krishna. That's why we have a very long list of all of the different features and characteristics of the personality of Godhead. There's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, but there's also Krishna in these other aspects that need to be understood and appreciated. And For which purpose? To save the innocent, or to save the devotees. And what is it? Vinashaya chaduskritam, to kill the demons. You know, Prabhupada makes a point that Krishna didn't spend all of his time just playing with the gopis in the forest. Usually before lunch, every day, Krishna had killed two or three demons. Huh? That was his sport. The cowherd boys used to like to go into the forest with Krishna because, you know, before you had your lunch prasadam, you at least got to see two or three demons killed. And, you know, this is what, and Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita, actually. He mentions in the Bhagavad Gita his purpose. Which chapter in the Bhagavad Gita does Krishna mention his purpose for speaking the Bhagavad Gita? Who knows? Please raise your hand. Don't say, who knows? Just put your hand up. Who knows? Yeah. One person, two people. Who knows which chapter of the Bhagavad Gita Krishna explains his purpose for speaking the Bhagavad Gita? Two people. Not too sure, though. What is it, Yasamadi? Yes, chapter 4. And who is the Bhagavad Gita spoken for primarily? Who does Krishna say? Spoken for primarily. In chapter 4. Saintly kings, yes. And why the saintly kings? Yeah, they're supposed to... And this is why Kalki's appearing, because the kings aren't doing their job. And we see also, you know, Krishna arranged for the battle of Kurukshetra to take place, basically to get rid of this Dasyu Prayushu Rajasu, the plunderer kings. The real purpose of the kings is to serve the citizens by administrating things properly. Get rid of, you know, instead of becoming demons, get rid of the demons, the asuras. Establish religious principles. That's his job. Our job also, for that matter. But, and it's interesting, Prabhupada says at least in one place that I'm aware of, and probably more, but one that I'm aware of specifically, but probably in many places, Prabhupada said we should establish two classes of men. Do you know what those two classes of men are? Have a guess. Brahmanas and Kshatriyas. Yeah. Of the two, who's the most important? Brahmanas. Yeah. The Brahmanas are meant to instruct the Kshatriyas, instruct the leaders of society. Therefore, Prabhupada, you know, established a society for Krishna consciousness to establish Brahmanas. But then those Brahmanas are meant to become so qualified and so influential, so powerful because of their spiritual prowess, if you like, because of their spiritual potency. And that's based on this jnana and vairagya, learning and renunciation. By their learning and by their detachment, they're able to then influence others. How are we doing? How are we going in that regard? You reckon? Huh? We're going okay. Okay, all right, fair enough. But we could be doing better, I think. Could be doing better. But that's, you know, that's the purpose. And of course, we're not going to be running around with our swords chopping off people's heads. Like Kalki. We don't have that potency. Prabhupada was saying, you know, there is a form of religion that holds the book in one hand and the sword in the other and says, you have to surrender. And if you don't surrender, whoosh, off with your head. But Prabhupada says, our sword is different. Our sword is the knowledge. Knowledge and detachment. Yeah, that's the real value, the real advantage of the human form of life is that we have an opportunity to cultivate knowledge, proper understanding of things. Therefore, the Bhagavatam is giving us this list. This incarnation did this, this incarnation did that, this incarnation does this. Of course, bringing us to the final point, a couple of verses away, Ete Champsakala Pumsa Krishna's Tu Bhagavan Swayam. But ultimately, Krishna is the source. Krishna is the source. And that Krishna has a purpose to fulfill in appearing in all of these different incarnations. He manifests his supreme. We were reading last night in the Bhagavad Gita about the personalities, plural, of Godhead, right? Which is a little confusing because we understand, we say God is one. Right, advayam, non-dual. But then we see the yuga avatars, the mamban avatars, the what else? Guna avatars, purusha avatars. So many avatars. God is all one, but it's advaitam, achutam, anadi, anantarupam. A bit confusing, actually. He's one, but at the same time, he's unlimited. Woo! Hard to work out. Yeah, he's God. The supreme personality of Godhead is Krishna. And we see all of these qualities actually manifest in Krishna. And Rupa Goswami and the Acharyas explain to us how he's one, but at the same time, he's manifesting his personality in multifarious forms, and that supreme personality is manifest, all of the rasas and all of the lila, if you like, is manifest, all the rasa is manifest in Krishna's appearance. We see all of these qualities manifest in full, and the exchanges between him and his, the affection exchange between him and his devotees is manifest completely in Krishna's personality. But still we should understand, or we should know and understand the relationship and the purpose of each one of these different incarnations, how the Lord in his various manifestations is still pursuing the same objective, the same goals, the same objectives. But according to Kala Desha Patra, time, place and circumstance, he manifests his pastimes differently, or he distributes his kripa or his mercy differently. And even though in the Kalki avatar it appears that he's a lot more ferocious, vigorous, still it's the same mercy that he's sharing with everybody. Even it appears to be, not as pleasing, if you like, getting your head chopped off. Doesn't appear to be mercy, right? Getting your head chopped off. We would prefer to have the affectionate glance of Krishna rather than getting your head chopped off. But actually, it's the same. She didn't want to get something out there, Michael.
Well, I think in that culture, the other one, it's the same thing in culture, it's like chopping the head, it's that same Krishna.
he chops their heads off too. Well, he doesn't chop their heads off, but yes, they get benefit. Yeah. See, that's the amazing thing, and that's manifest in the pastimes of, say, Putana. Putana wanted to kill Krishna, but she was elevated to the platform of the same, well, the same platform as oh, not exactly the same as Mother Yashoda, but she became his nurse in the spiritual world. So, you know, those personalities who get their heads chopped off by Kalki, they get liberated. We think, oh, how horrible. Got to get their heads chopped off. But actually, they get spiritual liberation. So Krishna's kissing or Krishna's chopping, you know, all spiritual. That's why it's hard to understand the personality of Godhead if we just look at it from the external. We think, oh no, he's running around killing everybody, how horrible. But actually his killing or his affectionate embrace give the same result in that one advances spiritually. Not necessarily exactly the same result. But certainly one makes progress. You know, and Prabhupada always would mention that the personalities who were killed on the battle of Kurukshetra in the presence of Krishna got liberation. So whether Krishna is killing or embracing affectionately, there's benefit, spiritual benefit. So Kali Yuga lasts for 432,000 years. We've only gone for 427,000 to go. Actually, I suggest don't stick around. We should get out of the material world before this lifetime. We should exit the material world. And it's interesting. Bhagavatam here says who his father will be and what village he's going to live in. So if you are here in 427,000 years, then keep an eye out. All right. Does anybody have any comments or questions? Any of these points? Generally recommended, yes. Yes. But we don't want to go to the heavenly planets, we want to go to the spiritual world. Heavenly planets means back into the material world again. Abrahma bhuvana loka puna avatino jana. Krishna says, you know, from the highest to the lowest, they're all places of birth and death. So we don't want to go to the heavenly planets, we want to go to the spiritual world, because in the spiritual world there's no birth or death. One's situated in the eternal world. Yes. Well, yes. But Lord Chaitanya is described as a Tana avatar, covered. He's covered incarnation, so he's not directly mentioned in this listing. But Lord Chaitanya is mentioned in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam. He is mentioned in the Bhagavatam, but you know, he's a special incarnation of the Lord who's not widely pronounced because he wants to keep his identity a secret. He's coming as a devotee, not as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when Lord Chaitanya, when the devotees would say, you know, you're actually Krishna himself, he would go, you know, Vishnu, no. Because, you know, and Lord Chaitanya did that for a purpose. He wanted to teach, especially in this age, you know, there's so many Mayavadis and impersonalists who say, we're all God, right? So Lord Chaitanya wanted to teach us, you know, this is inappropriate. His surname. I don't know. It's like, you know, you have a surname and usually it doesn't have a translation. But here, no, but it's different. It's Yashar. Surnamed Yashar. It's a surname. Just like, you know, what does Jones mean? I don't know. Nobody knows. And certainly, at least here, it's not given. It's not translated with a meaning. Yes. Yeah. Yes. That's not the only thing. Actually, the most prominent thing in Kali is the chanting of Hare Krishna. But Anandam Buddhi Vardhanam, what is it? Vidya Vadu Jivanam, yes, it's the life of transcendental knowledge, the chanting of Hare Krishna. When we're chanting Hare Krishna, wonderful things happen, right? When we chant Hare Krishna, we automatically feel our spiritual identity, which is the whole purpose of studying the Vedas, is to realize our spiritual identity. That's learning, but we experience it. It's the perfection of religion because it gives us direct experience of who we are. You know, when we're chanting Hare Krishna, we forget our problems. We forget the difficulties of material life, and we are awakened to our spiritual existence, our spiritual, you know. And that's why we become happy. That's why we recommended to chant Hare Krishna. When you chant Hare Krishna, then automatically you become happy. Huh? How is that possible? How is it possible that we who have not much piety in our lives cannot be elevated to a platform of spiritual, you know, understanding, spiritual realizations, especially through the chanting of Hare Krishna? So chanting of Hare Krishna is, you know, the perfection of spiritual life because it gives us that direct perception of our spiritual identity. So it's the life of transcendental knowledge. So it's not disconnected. Huh? Not disconnected. In fact, it's very much integral. But, of course, you know, we have the Bhagavad Gita, we have the Srimad Bhagavatam, we have the philosophy also. And we also have the philosophy of the chanting, you know, the chanting of Hare Krishna. Is a spiritual practice that helps us realize our spiritual identity. So the chanting of Hare Krishna in Kali Yuga has a special potency invested within it, and that potency, one of those potencies, is that it fuels our spiritual life, it fuels our spiritual understanding, it fuels this knowledge and then that detachment. That's why it's recommended that we chant Sankirtan, we chant with the devotees, and we chant Japa. Right? When you chant good Japa, what happens? What happens when you chant good japa? Huh? You have a peaceful mind.
Oh.
What was that? Right, yeah, japa. Justice, but that's, yeah, okay. Right, yes. Right, little distraction there. Not an answer to my question, though. What happens when you chant good japa? What's that? See the old building in a new way. Yeah. Yeah, we got some. What happens when you chant good japa, Yasamati? Yeah, less distraction from the material side. What happens when you chant good rounds? John? Feel blissful. You feel happy. Right? Otherwise, why are we all chanting Hare Krishna if we've got to torture ourselves? Huh? Yes.
It's the same way, like the jokes about, you know, and they torture the super soul within. Same way that we chant and there's life, there's actually there's a dissonance with the form of silence we take. It wasn't yoga, it wasn't pure bliss, it wasn't just, you know, life itself, but the life itself. And this dissonance actually creates quite a bit.
We're not in harmony with Krishna. So that creates dissonance. When we chant Hare Krishna, especially if we're holding on to things, right, then we become unhappy. Right, because we want something that Krishna doesn't want. So we chant Hare Krishna, but oh, I chanted terrible rounds today. Why? Because we hung on to things. But if you let it go and surrender to Krishna, then we'll become happy. Problem is, we're still a bit attached. So, you know, that detaching is painful. Hurts sometimes because we're hanging on. It's not you keep me hanging on. It's I keep hanging on. Huh? Because we want to blame everybody else or Krishna. We want to blame Krishna for the problems. But Lord Chaitanya's appearance is covered in the Bhagavatam. It's not fully. And so therefore, as a postgraduate study, if you like, we have the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Because in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya's position is not covered. It's fully revealed. Right? So Prabhupada, you know, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, Nectar of Devotion, Chaitanya Charitamrita. The Nectar of Devotion gives us a deep insight into the nature of rasa, the nature of Krishna's relationships with his devotees is elaborated in the Nectar of Devotion. But then it's fully revealed in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, because in that in those descriptions of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, we see the interactions of the devotees and how, you know, this rasa is exchanged between us and Krishna in the Krishna consciousness movement. So it's a full explication, if you like, of the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Bhagavatam is important, and of course, you know, we're studying the Bhagavatam now. And, you know, we need to know all of these different personalities. But the full manifestation is really revealed to us in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And the importance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance is fully, you know, developed. Okay. Anybody else? Russell? The financial institutions. Okay, that's an interesting diversion, but relevant to the current times. Yes. But he also says in Kali Yuga that there aren't any Brahmanas and there aren't any Kshatriyas, and you know, at best there's Vaishyas. And Vaishyas, we know, don't have any principles. The only principle they have is make a profit. And usually make a profit means at somebody else's expense. Whereas a Kshatriya should be more principled. Has to be principled. Has to be magnanimous, giving. Vaishya doesn't give, he takes. Usually. Or he'll give, but so long as there's, you know, a deal. Where is it? Kshatriyas. Yeah.
In the most of the Kshatriyas, they will think only of themselves because they are only 4 years from the date and they will try to provide for themselves.
Yeah, but that means they're not Kshatriyas.
They are not.
They're Vaishyas.
They're not just Vaishyas.
Yeah, it's very funny. There was a... not funny, it's actually pretty... It's a miserable situation. There was a video that one of my Facebook friends linked to, and I just happened to see it about. There's two comedians on the 7:30 on the ABC on the 7:30 report, and they're satirical. They're satirists, and one was asking the other, you know, how much money does Greece owe Europe? $70 billion. How much money does Spain owe? So many billion dollars. How much does Ireland owe? So many million dollars. And what's the problem? Well, they can't pay the money back. Right? So he said, what's the solution? Then, well, we're going to lend them some more money. They're already lending people money who can't pay back the money that they previously lent them. So it's just a joke. As one person said, well, we just all start again. Let's just shut all of this down. We'll go back to a naught balance and then we'll start lending ourselves more money. So, yes, it's incomprehensible to the common folk, but really it's a web of compromise, if you like, basically inflicted upon us by the banks and people who control the money. That's why there's this grassroots kind of demonstrations against corporate greed and whatever, but really our whole economical situation depends on greed. Depends on it. Relies on it, as Prabhupada points out. So, your point is there's no solution?
No. There should be a king of democracy.
Oh. Yeah. There should be a king. Unfortunately, there aren't any. We killed them all. Because they were crooks. Now, you can see how... You're right. But you can see how, you know, with Kali Yuga there's a degradation of the qualities of people. And so the kings were deposed because they weren't. They were, what is it? Dasyu, Prayeshu, Rajeshu. They became plunderers. They weren't magnanimously looking after the citizens and maintaining principles.